Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So I love spending time with the children because it allows me to introduce the message that I'm going to preach. And so you saw that we were talking about king, prophet, and priest. And the children really confirmed what it is that I believe God was saying to me, is that we don't have much of a problem seeing Jesus as king, right? Hail, hail, King Jesus. And then sometimes there's other religions or other people that will be able to say that Jesus was a prophet. There's other religions that they don't see Jesus as the Son of God. They don't see Jesus as God. Right. As I ask the kids, like, who was the man that came and says that when you see me, you see the Father? There's some religions that have a problem with seeing Jesus to a certain extent. But if you ask them, do you believe that Jesus was a prophet? They'll say, yes, he's a prophet, almost like the honorable Elijah of Muhammad was a prophet, or Buddha was a prophet. They'll put Jesus in that category. But as you continue on and you say, hey, but do you see Jesus as a priest? Now, some people will say, yes, I do see Jesus or saw him as a priest. But you saw where I went with the kids. Then does priests offer sacrifices? Yes, some of them, they offer sacrifice. And what sacrifice did the priest that we're talking about today named Jesus, what sacrifice did he offer? And I loved it. They said they offered, or he offered himself. Praise God. The kids got it. So in a moment, they were able to see him as king. And don't raise your hand, but search within you. Do you see Jesus as Lord and King of your life? Do you see Jesus as prophet in your life? Wow. Do you see Jesus as the priest, the great high priest? Now, here's the beautiful thing, is that Jesus in the Old Testament, priests would come through the lineage of the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. But Jesus broke all of that and didn't come that way. He was of the tribe of Judah. Amen. But can we still see Jesus as all three? And so that's where I want to challenge us at today as we go through the scripture. If you can keep, look through that lens, like challenge yourself. Do I see Jesus as king? Oh, okay, can I check that box? But you know what? I think sometimes we vacillate in between. Like, he's king, he's Lord. I don't need you to be king and Lord over this situation. I got it. Oh, man, sometimes I see Jesus as prophet, and he shares some things. But sometimes it's like, Lord, stop. Stop showing me stuff. Stop. I don't want to hear. I'm going to stop reading my Bible. I'm going to stop going to church, God, because I don't want to hear you speaking to me. And sometimes it's like, yeah, I see Jesus as my priest, and he died on the cross for me. And then when he invites us to become priests, we are a royal priesthood, a godly nation. And he says, hey, there's some areas of our life that we need to now sacrifice. Oh, you're going too far, Jesus. Let's back up to the area of you being my king and my prophet. But Lord, when you're asking me to go beyond the veil and to lay down something, that's the work of a priest. And so any area that we see Jesus in, he is our forerunner. And now he's saying for us, now this is how I did it as king. This is how I did it as prophet. This is how I did it as priest. And now I am the first of many. And you as my child, I want you to walk as kings and queens. I now want you to walk as a prophet in the land. I want you now to walk as a priest. Sometimes it's like, you know what? You're going a little bit too far, Lord. And so let's be challenged today as we go through the word. So a king, as we look at this, a king, you can see, is one who establishes. It's talking about King Jesus. Jesus establishes his kingdom in us. Remember the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, hey, it already exists in heaven. Now I want it to exist in the earth, but it cannot exist in the earth until it exists in us. So God says, I want to formulate my kingdom right in you. But then he says, as prophet, Jesus says, as prophet, I want to reveal God's will in you. So one of the elements of Purpose Church is discovering our purpose. It's not, my purpose is not out there. My purpose is within me. But the only way that I get to know my purpose is getting to know who gave me a purpose in the first place. And so it's not finding my purpose. It's discovering or rediscovering it. And so Jesus as prophet, revealing God's will in us. And then Jesus as priest, as our great high priest, he is the one that made a way for us to get to God. So next week, right, we'll talk about what Jesus did on a cross. But without the shedding of Jesus' blood, the Bible says there would be what? No remission or no removal of sin. And even if we go back to the garden, why did God say, I need y'all to get out of my presence? Because they sinned. But it was not in that moment when God said, man, what am I going to do now? Man, I thought Adam and Eve, they were just going to do their thing and they were just going to not eat of that tree that I told them not to eat of. What am I going to do? The Bible says that before the foundations of the world, the lamb was slain. So God already had a plan before they even messed up. All right, so let's translate that to our life. So that means that God already had a plan for my life even before I was even born. So that is the reason why I got to look to God if I'm trying to find out the plan of God for my life. He already knows it. And so he's calling me. He's standing at the end of my life and saying, come walk the path that I've already predestined you to walk. Oh, but you don't have to do it alone because I'm with you as well. Mm. And so if you feel like you're journeying alone in this path called life, please know that God is with you. So let's get into the scriptures here. All right, so it's Palm Sunday. So we're going to do a Palm Sunday message. All right. But we're going to go a little bit deeper. So Matthew 21, verse 1, this is in the Amplified Bible. It says this. When they, Jesus and the disciples, when they approached Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead. Verse 2, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and at once you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. So even in this case, we see Jesus operating as king and prophet. Verse 3 says this. If anyone says anything to you, you should say, the Lord needs them. And without delay, the owner will send them with you. Verse 4. This happened so that what was spoken by the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, in other words, the people of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So I want to kind of stop right here for a moment and kind of teach this area. So what Jesus was speaking or what he was walking out as a prophet was Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says this in Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king, the messianic king, is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and unassuming, in submission to the will of his father, of the father. And he's riding on a donkey upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. So let's break this down. So earlier, the first song that they were singing was dealing with like you know, shouting and praising God and like lifting up aloud. I raise up hallelujah, right? I raise it and louder and louder. And I think somebody up here that was singing was saying, come on, church, get louder and louder, right? This word rejoice is literally expressing a deep, exuberant joy. Guess what? It can be either internal or external. All right. So for all of the people in here that says, you know, I'm a little quiet with my praise. That's okay. That's all right. Because the word rejoice means that you can have this exuberant joy, but it can be internal, you know, like, woo, man, God is great. Or it can be external, where you're like, oh, my God is awesome. But it says rejoice greatly. Oh, so that means that my rejoicing can be internal. But what does an internal rejoicing greatly look like? It's almost as if I cannot hold it in. So maybe you say, okay, all right. Rejoice. But then the next part says what? Shout aloud. Oh, you got me. This can be even a cry. If you read about the walls of Jericho, remember, and they walked around the walls and then they shouted aloud. And so this message here, this portion right here where we're parking at, is challenging us that we have got to open up our mouth and praise God. Now you might say, you know what? I do that at home. Do it, but are you doing it at home? I do that in the car. Do it, but are you doing that in the car? You say, I do that, you know, when I'm on my walks, right? When I'm doing my, you know, I open up my mouth and I say it. Do it, but are you doing it? See, when Jesus, and you know this story, and we're going to see it in a moment, when he was coming in Jerusalem, there was all this shouting. Have you ever heard someone shout and they're just doing it because the preacher said, come on, let's give God praise. It's one thing to praise the king. It's one thing to praise the prophet. But can you praise the priest? See, the priest, Jesus, the priest, he goes in those areas of our heart and he goes behind the curtain and say, maybe the reason why you cannot release an exuberant joy is because you're holding some stuff back. And see, the king says, rejoice. And we rejoice because the king commanded us to. The prophet says, hey, if you do this, blessings will come down. Right? Anybody know any phrases go up? The priest says, hey, I'm not going to command you, and I'm not going to tell you that if you praise God, then you'll be blessed. I want you just to praise God because he's good. I want you to just praise God because he is the God of your salvation. I just want you to praise God because you feel his presence in the atmosphere. See, a king is, you need to do this. A prophet is, if you do this, this will happen. But a priest says, let's pull back the curtains and you have a relationship with God and praise him from that. And you might say, hey, sometimes when I pull the curtain back, it's painful. But God is saying that even in your pain, cry aloud. Release a sound unto God. See, it's not always about I feel good. It's not about I feel like doing it. I do it because he is the God that has saved me. I feel his presence in the place. And without him, I don't know where I would be mentally or physically or spiritually. I don't know where I would be or who I would be. So it's from that place of behind the curtain. Nobody else can see it. And this is the reason why I believe God is challenging us. And we say, you know, well, I don't do that in the sanctuary. That's just not me. I just don't, you know, I just don't clap and all that kind of stuff. And I just don't release. But are we doing it? You've got to do it in some space. There has to be some interval of your life where you rejoice greatly because you are a child of God, where you will shout aloud because you are a child of God. And then it goes on and it says, listen, listen, because your king is coming to you. I love this. Your king is always coming to you. The scripture says, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. So it doesn't matter where I am. My king, Jesus, is always coming to me. He is righteous and he is endowed with salvation. And listen, the next part, humble and unassuming in submission to God. So even Jesus was in submission to God. Now, this is the part, this last part here, we focus on this on Palm Sunday. Look, and humble and unassuming and riding on a donkey upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. We focus on the donkey. We focus on the branches. We focus on the fact that people took off their coats. That's not the focus. The focus is that Jesus is King. And if we miss that, we will go home and people will say, how was service? We had a great Palm Sunday service, but we missed the prophet. We missed the priest. So this is that moment where I say, amen. So back to Matthew 21, verse 6. It says, then the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed him. They went and got the donkey. Verse 7 says, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them. And Jesus sat on the coats. Verse 8. Most, not all the crowd. So this lets you know that everybody is not going to celebrate the king. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the ground. Why were they doing it? As before a king, while others were cutting down branches from the trees and spreading them on the ground. So please note here, some of the crowd sees Jesus as the anointed king. So all they were doing was ushering in the king. The king is coming. The king is coming. So they were laying down their coats so that the king did not walk on the pave. And he's riding either on a donkey or in sometimes they're riding on a horse. Goes on to verse 9. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed him were shouting in praise and adoration, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Messiah. Blessed, praised, glorified is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. Wow. The word Hosanna, it is a cry, it is a shout, but the expression means save now or save please. So why were they asking this person who came from the line of Judah, this person that came from the line of David? Because they wanted to be released from the government that was ruling over them. And now they're saying, as the prophet has spoken, here comes the king. Save us, Hosanna. Save us, Jesus. They were locked in and seeing Jesus as king. Do you see Jesus as king? Verse 10 says this. When Jesus, he entered Jerusalem. Please catch this. All the city was trembling with excitement, saying, who is this? Man, wouldn't it be amazing that if whatever city you're from, that the praises of God and the shout and the cry of God is so much that the city trembles and says, who is this? And you say, I'm so glad you asked. Do we cause the places we are to tremble to the point where they ask, who is this person that you're worshiping? Who is this person that you say every Sunday, I gotta go? Who is this person that you keep reading about this person? The city, the people trembled with, who is this? Come on. I mean, can we get to that point? So you say, okay, so what is the reason for my praise when it becomes so exuberant, it oozes out of me, right? You're on a meeting and you say, we get good results about something, and you say, praise God. And you'd be like, dang, I hope I didn't offend nobody. But it's so much, it's in you. Where somebody says, man, you know, this weekend, something amazing happened to me. And you say, amen. You know what has happened is that we have gotten tired of religion so much that we don't even want to look like we're in a religion. So, but we've gone too far. We don't even talk about God. Because years ago, everybody, how's your day going? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. And we got so upset with those religious responses that we went all the way to the side. And now we don't even sound like we belong to God. And what we're saying is that because I don't want to be religious. Well, come on. Come to a good place right here. Where they know I'm a Christian, but I can still reach them. Not that they don't even know you go to church. They don't even know you're a Christian. Why? Because there's no exuberant praise. There's no exuberant glory. There's no exuberant, he is my everything coming out of us. So we don't slip up and say God things. We slip up and say, excuse my French. And it's to the point where people that we're talking to don't even say, did you just cuss? I thought you was a Christian. They just like, yeah, you feel me? Because we're trying to be so relatable that we don't even have the smell of the glory of God upon us. Why? Because that the incense of God's presence, if you allow it to get on you, it can come off you. Please follow me when I'm saying this. But if you allow the glory to get in you, it's always there. And all it has to be done is broken open. But you can leave here today and fear God, and then it go off because it's not in you. But when it's in you, you can always tap into it. It's like the woman with the alabaster box. I can break this. And the aroma of what's in the box fills the room. Verse 11 says this. And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So at first they were saying, king, king, king. Now the people are saying, who is this? Now they're saying, he's not only king, but he's prophet. Praise God. We're getting there. We're getting close. It shifted. All right. So if this was a good Palm Sunday message, this would be the end of the message. Because a lot of times this is where we stop and we don't keep going, but we're going to keep going. Verse 12 says this. Please see this. Let me set this up for a moment. Please see this. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. They brought him the donkey with the coat, you know, the young donkey, and they put their coats on the donkey and the coat. And then they're putting coats on the ground. And then there are branches on the ground. And Jesus, as the triumphant, we call this a triumphant entry, is walking into Jerusalem. And people are hollering, Hosanna, save us, save us, help us, save us, save us, save us. So if Jesus was coming to this area, he would be going to the governmental institutions as the king to say, listen, I need for y'all to start treating my people right because I'm the king. But verse 12 does not say that Jesus went to go deal with the government of the place. Jesus goes to the temple. Verse 12 says this, and Jesus entered the temple grounds and drove out with force all who were buying and selling and birds and animals for sacrifice in the temple area. And he turned over the tables of the money changers, those who was exchanging money, and the chairs of those who were selling droves. I want to say this to us. Don't get distracted by the crowd. After this, you no longer hear the crowd hollering, Hosanna. Why? Because now Jesus has shifted from king, prophet, now he is walking as the priest. And he goes to the temple. Come on, if you know anything about scriptures, the Bible says, know ye not that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost and that the Spirit of God dwells within you. So sometimes we get distracted with the crowd. Hey, King, with the prophet. But then Jesus says, I'm going to the temple. Because what was happening in the temple was not what was supposed to be happening. They exchange the place of exchange with God for a place of transactions with people. They started selling stuff. And I don't know what God is, if he's speaking this to our hearts today in this season. Is God coming straight for the heart of the matter? And is God, switch it, reminding you, don't get caught up with the crowd. Where people, you're awesome. You're prophesying. You're going to do great things. I love the fact, right? And God is saying, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, because I need for you to get to the heart of the matter. So what is it that God has called you to do and you keep stopping with the crowd? The deeper you go in God, the less noise you're going to hear. So if it's crowded in your head right now, that means you are stuck in the outer courts of Jerusalem where people are laying down coats and they're laying down branches. And people are saying, it's on now. Jesus is here. Well, I wonder what punches in them. Well, what are they going to do now? Jesus is here. And Jesus, if you notice, up until this point, he hasn't said nothing. Don't get stuck amongst the crowd. Because if you don't spend time with God and go deeper, when you do have to engage with the crowd, you won't have enough potence. You won't have enough power to be able to resist what the crowd is doing. Jesus would often do this. Slip away. They want to crown him king, he would slip through the crowd. They want to throw him off the cliff, he would slip away. And is God saying that to you? You're too involved in the crowd. You like the applause too much. You like people speaking to you almost, you know, man, you're just, it becomes, I was just talking earlier with Reverend Mark, it begins this wilderness or this lonely experience where you have, I don't know if Jesus was, Jesus now, he's not even on the donkey. He has gotten off the donkey. There are no more coats. There are no more branches. And now he is in the temple kicking over chairs and tables. Whew. Would you allow King Jesus, Prophet Jesus, Priest Jesus to come into your life, in your heart, and start turning over tables? Start opening up closet doors. And it says that he did it with force. And people say, gentle Savior. He sure enough is gentle. But when it came to his priestly apostolic assignment, he would turn the place upside down. And he is looking to do the same within our hearts. I just want to go a little bit deeper. You say, well, how deep you gonna go, man? This is the first time in chapter 21 that we see Jesus speaking. He says, it's written. Love that. So I'm not just doing what I'm doing. I'm just not kicking over tables and chairs just to be doing it. He says, look, the reason why I'm doing this is because I am fueled by the scripture. He said, it is written in scripture. God saying this, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have making it into a den of robbers or a robber's den, the area of prayer. This is what God is saying. He said that this place is supposed to be a place where whosoever can come in and connect with God, but you've made it into something where before people can even get to God, they got to give you something to get to God. So Jesus comes in and flips it. The next verse. I'm going to skip past this one. Verse 14. After Jesus comes in and flips the place, now the blind and the lame come in to be healed. Where was the blind and the lame before? They were outside of the temple because they couldn't afford to get in. You know, see, we can do this either from, you know, do you know a church that's like that, right? We can go down that path, or we can say, do you know a person that's like that? Do you know a person that is so transactional that people can't get to the God in them because they're so transactional? God wants to use you to heal people. God wants to use you that people can be delivered. But is your temple such a marketplace? It's so busy that people come and they're looking for God and they can't even get in. They can't connect with God because your life, your mind, your spirit, your heart is so transactional. People can't get to God. And that's what was happening here. And so here comes Jesus, and he is furious. He is upset because the scripture that he was talking about in Isaiah 56 is God saying, even those who are not of the Israel culture, even I want them to come. And how do we translate that today? Even people who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, God is saying, I want them to come. But listen, if they are trying to get to God, but the body of God is so busy with other stuff, then they are left outside of the temple trying to figure out, how do I get in?
Come on.
And we're saying, you may not have enough money to buy a dove, but do you at least got some money to buy a pigeon? If you can get in here with a pigeon, then I'll make a sacrifice for you. Well, maybe you can't get a lamb that's without blemish, but can you at least get something else? And there's all of this stuff. Hey, and I know you know your mind is probably going to church, but can we bring it back in to our personal lives? Are we so busy? Are we so complicated that God cannot reach those that don't even realize they're reaching for God? Because my life is so complicated, I don't even know where to start. I don't know where to start. You ever walk up to somebody and you're just like, I'm just confused by just being in your presence? And that is a bad testament for us as believers, that if someone that is looking for God and they come to Christ, the body of Christ, they're looking for Christ, they come to the body of Christ, and they're like, I can't even find God in the midst of you. Because you got so much going on. So here is the message. Praise God. We got God as Jesus as King. Right? Children said, He's my ruler. We got Jesus as our prophet. He's leading me. He's guiding me to the will of God. And now Jesus is saying, hey, how about your priest? You know what? Let's flip it. If I can allow him to be my priest, then I have no problem with him speaking to me as my prophet. And then if I can receive him as my priest and my prophet, I have no problem him ruling my life as my king. But I think we go backwards. Hail, hail, King Jesus and all of that, you know, prophet and all that. And then when we get to the priest part, we're kind of like, you know, I'll see you next Sunday. God is saying, flip it. Let Jesus be your priest. And what does that require? So whether you're here today and you've never received Jesus into your heart as personal Lord and Savior, that's where it begins. Sometimes we try to get kingdom things without knowing intimately the King. God bless me. And he reigns on the just as well as the unjust, you know, so you'll get some sprinkles of blessing. He'll keep you. But do you not know that the scripture says that he is showing us his goodness so that we will turn and repent and say, God, I need you as priests. But sometimes we don't turn. It's God, I need you to pay this bill. I need you to deliver me one more time. I need you to ride in on a horse and take care of me. God, I don't know what to do. I need you to speak to me. Speak, 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 God. And every once in a while he's doing it. But can I say this? He is showing you his king. He is showing you as prophet so that we'll turn and say, God, I need you as my priest. And then he says, once I got you as priest, I ain't got no problem being your prophet. I ain't got no problem being your king. You know why? Because I got your heart. I got your heart. I got your heart. Is this a Palm Sunday message? We don't read the rest of the story. The triumphant entry. Where was he going? He was going to the temple. And once he restored things in the temple, then the blind and the lame could be healed.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.